Hello, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer. And with me today are Christian Science practitioner and teacher Deborah Hipsch and Christian Science practitioner Amy Richmond. It's great to be together again.
Oh, and I'm so happy to be with you both.
I am as well.
Well, after three conversations about the omnis, omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience, we've made it to our final one, which is omni-action. Now, in previous podcasts, we've started out by defining the term we'll be talking about and what it means in Christian Science, but today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to start with a healing that relates to omni-action, and we'll let that kickstart our conversation. Deborah, tell us about your healing.
Be glad to. I was having a really severe hip problem. A lot of pain, stiffness. It was getting increasingly bad, even though I was praying about it. And one of the things that I love is to ride horses. And it was getting so that I could hardly ride. I could not even drive my car for very far. I was praying about it, but I wasn't getting anywhere at all. And this went on for maybe 4 years. And I remember one day, I just wholeheartedly said, God, what? God, what? Just help me out. And in a moment of exquisite silence, I heard God say, you will ride. It was gentle, it was tender, and it went right to my heart, and I believed it. And what came along with that thought was, God was really the source of my action, the source of my ability, the source of my movement, because God is omni-action. The source and the condition of my movement did not depend on my hips. And from that day, I began to get better, and in a very short time, within a month, I was free from the hip pain and have been able to ride. That was probably 2.5 years ago, and I have been riding ever since, and I am so grateful for knowing that God is truly omni-action, all action, the source of all movement, and all movement in my body as well as in the world, in the universe. And this movement is good. It's spiritual. It's not a material thing. So I recognize that my ability to move was not centered in my hips or any mortal concept of body. It was from God. It was a gift from God. Action, omni-action, is God's gift to all of us. And we can be assured that we will be able to move freely. The Bible says in Him we live and move and have our being. And I am just so grateful for this. This is the promise and the power of omni-action in my life. And I know that this truth, this spiritual fact, is there for everyone, to bless everyone.
Oh, that's such a beautiful experience, Deborah, and we're so grateful that you're able to ride. I think one of the things that strikes me about that is so often it seems like there can be this separation between what we understand about God or what we know to be true about God based on the Bible and oftentimes our study of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, which explains all these wonderful aspects of God and our relation to them, then it seems like we're sort of over here, you know, wanting that to like apply to our lives. But your experience really shows that there's no separation.
Well, one of the things that I love, Jenny, about what you're saying here is that thought and action are really one thing. We think sometimes we have to wait for a good idea from God, or we might take a few steps to see if that we're moving in the right direction, but actually, they're not two separate things. They're one thing. Idea and action are one thing. And that's where it's pretty clear to me that all the various omnis that we've been talking about, they're completely related. They're not separate, you know? And one of the things that Mary Baker Eddy, who discovered Christian Science, wrote is that to all mankind and in every hour, divine love supplies all good. Now, that might seem like, you know, just handing out something, but to me, that action of supplying all good to all mankind in every hour every second is the perfect description of divine omni-action. We can expect that good is coming our way in a variety of ways, whatever way we need it to come, all the time.
That's so true, Amy. And it reminds me of a Bible story where Jesus was out and about, and he came across a man that had been paralyzed for, I believe, 38 years. Just think about it. This man couldn't move. He couldn't walk. And looking at this man, he asked him, "Do you want to be whole?" Well, that stirred the man to think. He had to think about that for a minute. Of course he wanted to be whole, but was he willing to do what was required to be whole? And Jesus simply said, "Rise up, take up your bed, and get walking." And the man did that. So that just proves to me Amy's idea about thought and action being one. Jesus had the thought that the man was upright, whole, free, and the man also had to get that same concept that he was free, and he was. And this proves to me, really, that we exist in the infinite. We're already there. We are really part of the infinite action of good, of God. It's really helpful to think that we're not separate from it, as Jenny was saying, but we are part of that action. It's always available to us because we are in it, actually.
Right. I know that, when I think about how God is the source of all movement, that he perpetuates and originates all harmonious action, and that's really the only action that there is. It's helped me a lot of times to think that, because it doesn't seem that way. It seems like there's a lot of ugly, harmful, damaging action. I had a healing once that illustrates this point. I was loading my car to drive down to New York for a big party, and I tripped and fell on the concrete sidewalk and landed very hard on my side. And I wanted to get to that party, so I went ahead and went, but I also called a Christian Science practitioner to pray with me. And, I was able to go about my business, but it didn't seem like things were getting better for a while. And, it was hard to get in and out of bed and to move and even to drive. And at one point I called the practitioner and I said that. I said, "I think I may have bruised my ribs." And she said, "Oh, ribs just represent protection." And in that instant, I really understood that God's protection of me was active. It was an ongoing thing. It's not that God created me and protected me a long time ago, but that it's current. It's an active activity. And in that moment, I was completely healed. And, it had been at least a month that I could hardly move, and all of a sudden I was completely free. And it was understanding something more about God as omni-action.
I love the immediacy of that. That's one of the things that really strikes me. It's not like it was a slow build to return to normal movement, which I think is kind of the sort of typical understanding of, if you have a lack of movement, that the only way to get better is through this very slow process of like regaining movement or regaining flexibility. Right. And yet this correct understanding of the omni-activity of God, you went from 0 to 90.
Yeah, exactly. And, in the time since, I've thought about how it's important it is to understand that the negative action, when I tripped, would seem to contradict the idea of omni-action. But when you understand that there's only one action, it takes away anything that could seem to dispute the idea of omni-action. And that's when you end up having healings and you end up having action and activity in your life that is positive and productive and healthy.
So, Amy, you're talking about omni-action as something tangible to help with things that happened in the past. But what about the future? Can we see omni-action as being an ongoing, forward, progressive sense of good unfolding. And for example, I'm just thinking about the climate changes that are going on and how we all seem to be affected by that. But since God is omniactive and that action is good, we can perhaps be comforted by knowing that only good is going to be happening, because that good is the only all power, all the time, future, as well as past, and of course, present.
Yeah, that's a very different sort of definition of progress, isn't it? Because we think of progress as, I think, maybe going from good to better or bad to good. But how would you define progress in that spiritual context?
Well, because omni-action has always been, it always will be, so there's only good. So I like to think of it as an unfolding sense of good unfolding to good, and that we see more and more good as we progress, as we open our thought to the experiencing of good in our daily lives. And as each one of us does this, I am really convinced that we can make a small difference in our own little corner of the world in seeing progress globally.
Yeah, I love that, Deborah. What I was thinking about as you were talking is how that quality of omni-action is really causing us to see the presence of good and the unfolding presence of good. I think it's been a pretty dark time for a lot of people. And to think that, in fact, there is this all power with all activity present everywhere, knowing all of us and its creation correctly, that is causing us to see the good that it creates and maintains is pretty amazing. Like, I'm really excited thinking about that.
That's really great. I've been thinking this past few months a lot about something Mary Baker Eddy wrote, and she said, "A spiritual idea has not a single element of error, and this truth removes properly whatever is offensive." You know, to me, showing that there's nothing really offensive here to begin with is what helps us see and realize that a spiritual idea, and that's you and me and everybody else, is utterly perfect, holy, one with God. And it's this fact or truth that removes what is offensive.
Yeah, that's a great way of defining it, because I think that gets to the heart of what makes the practice of Christian Science and the understanding of these aspects of God different than just kind of going through life from a problem-solving basis, is that as we understand these aspects of God, as you said, Amy, everything else not only pales in comparison, but it fades from what seems to be reality to nothingness. So let's get into some of the other things that omni-action can help us tackle. I know, Amy, you had a really great insight.
Well, one thing that I've thought about recently, an idea that I got from God, is that omni-action really obliterates the belief in aging or diminishing action. You know, diminishing action sounds like the not-so-evil twin brother of outright wrong action, which we've talked about. But, you know, really, if it's not vibrant, complete, whole, pure action, then it's just not aligned with God. And so if it's not aligned with God, with the divine energy of spirit, then it's not real. So, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this. It's a great idea.
Yeah, well, and Amy, I think this really takes this concept of aging out of the sort of biological or physiological framework that says it's just inevitable. You know, I think most people just accept it. This is a fact. This just happens. This isn't something we can counteract. I mean, sometimes with things like disease or something like that, there's more of an acceptance that, okay, well, we look for a cure. We look for a way to counteract it. But we don't have something that can counteract aging.
Right. What's interesting to me is that Mary Baker Eddy did talk about age and counteracting it. And she really put her money where her mouth was. You know, there's an account in Pulpit and Press by someone who met her, who said that when they met her, she must have been 60 years old, but that she really looked like somebody who was 30. So, you know, she lived what she taught. And that to me shows us what's possible as God's creation.
And maybe another way of applying that, Amy, is Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, with key to the scriptures, to those leaning on the sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings. To me, that brings out that sense that you were talking about, that good is an ongoing thing, that the omni-action of good is continuous, it's uninterrupted, and the more we lean on that, the more it supports us in a way. So if we're dealing with aging difficulties or even fatigue, we can trust that that sustaining infinite, I love the way those two words fit together, it sustains us and it's infinite. So the ability to be sustained is totally infinite because it's really omni-action in action.
Right.
One of the insights that I had recently about omni-action relates to the Lord's Prayer and the line that Jesus gave us that says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And I've been thinking a lot about how it seems like there can be a pull toward negative things. I mean, for some of us, it might be very small. It might just be toward certain thought patterns that are counterproductive. But obviously, we can see this on a larger scale as well in terms of, you know, atrocities and evil acts that are committed throughout the world. And I love how in that prayer, the two action words are petitions to God about leading and delivering. And I was thinking about how that's really it's the omni-action of good that delivers us from evil. Whether it's just kind of a redirect in our own thoughts, you know, if we're heading down the wrong road, or whether it's just, you know, a gentle dawning that a certain way of thinking is not the right way. I think it can operate in all sorts of ways. And just a small experience that I had recently, a friend had said something to me that I just found disturbing, and I was having a really hard time not kind of incessantly thinking about it. And it seemed like every time I would move my thoughts onto something else, they'd just get pulled right back into that same pattern of thinking. And the way I prayed about it was really simple, which was just to understand that because omni-action is the only action going on, and it's the action of good, and it's productive and progressive, it's not repetitive or cyclical, I couldn't keep getting pulled into these negative ways of thinking. And it really kind of broke that negative mental pattern for me.
Oh, I love that, Jenny. It's God that is the action. It's God that provides the action. God is the source. We aren't. And I find that very comforting.
Yeah, that makes me think about how we are not self-acting, you know, and it's not even God telling us what to do and then we do it, because that would imply some kind of separation. You know, the truth is that we are at one with God. It's not two coinciding actions. It's not God doing something and we do something together, you know? It's one action and God does it and it's done.
I love this idea, and maybe we can sort of wrap up our four omnis by talking about the fact that these four omnis really are all totally interconnected. Obviously, they all describe different aspects of God and there's one God, so that makes sense. But maybe we can just talk a little bit about, you know, why that's important, how it's been helpful to you to pray with and think about the omnis, anything that you'd like to share in conclusion.
Well, for me, the omnis are one of my best go-tos, because if I can put my thought in rapport with the meaning, the depth, the expanse, the bigness, the enormity of these omnis, omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, and omni-action, that just so puts me into spirit, so to speak. It puts me into that conscious awareness of the allness and the power and the reality and the action of good, which pretty much puts everything else out of the picture.
Yeah, I think understanding more about the omnis, each one of them, helps bring a practicality to my prayers. I find that my practice of Christian Science has been more effective since I've gotten to know more about God as omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, and omni-action. Each one of those adds such a oomph to my prayers. And It's just been very practical for me.
Well, I think that is so important in prayer. It isn't just words that we use. It isn't just phrases that we glue our thought onto. It's the actual experiencing the reality of the omnis.
Well, thank you so much, Deborah and Amy, for such heartfelt and powerful sharing. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been just a great joy. Thank you both.
Thanks a lot for including me.
I've been speaking with Deborah Hipsch from San Juan Capistrano, California, and Amy Richmond from Boston, Massachusetts. If you've missed any of our previous Omni podcasts, you can check out Omnipresence, Omnipotence, or Omniscience in the Sentinel Watch archive, along with many other timely and healing topics that are all part of the new Sentinel digital experience. Thanks again for listening to this edition of Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.